Really grateful to be here with you guys. I'm Jeff, I'm one of the pastors, and we are, in my opinion, sadly coming to the conclusion of this series that we've been doing called The Sacred Gathering, except that I'm so stoked for Lent. And way to just drop the hammer on us about fasting. That's so good. I was standing in the back listening to these guys, and people I was standing with, they were like, that's a word for me. So it'll be really fun to consider together how we go through Lent. And what the Lord might have for us, not only with fasting, but with all kinds of spiritual practices. But we're in this series now and finishing it called The Sacred Gathering, and it's where we have kind of parsed everything we do when we gather together on a Sunday, what we do and kind of why we do it, so that we can enter into it and maximize that. And we're now on the last one, and so this sermon title and this topic that I want to talk about is the benediction. You know, the benediction is that thing we do at the very end, and we often do the Lord's Prayer, right? Sometimes we do something different, but we've often been doing the Lord's Prayer because it's so good, and it can become something that that we speak over one another at the end. But literally, what you know about benediction is in Latin, it means it comes from bene, which is good, and something dicere, which means to speak, right? So therefore, what it's getting at is this is just about the benediction is speaking good words over somebody. It's speaking good words or to speak a blessing over somebody. That's what it's all about. When we get to at the end of the service, we're wanting to speak blessing over one another. We want to speak a good word over somebody. That's why we do the benediction every Sunday. And you know the power of this, right? We all know, somehow we get it, that there's this general agreement that speaking goodness over people, speaking blessing over people, speaking good words over people, God's truths over people has power. You know that feeling, right? When you get that text. I got this text from my friend Zoe this week. This is what she said. Let's see if you got it. Yeah. She just sent me Luke 2:10-27 about the love of the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then she just wrote, Pastor Jeff, you have the heart of Jesus. I was like, that's what I want. That's the affirmation of the Lord over me. It buoyed me for days. This morning on the way to service, one of the guys in my small group texted our whole small group and just said, and the Lord watches over his righteous ones. I'm praying God's favor over you and your families this morning, right? Yes, that's what I want. I want people in my life that are speaking like that. I want people that are speaking in to one another. So why we do a benediction every Sunday in some way is that it's this intentional statement that we're gonna be a people who speak blessing over each other. And man, do we need that, because do we need to go down the rabbit trail of talking about how the world is speaking curses and judgment and nasty over each other? But this is a place where we're going to speak blessing over each other. And so I want to, there's lots of ways we can do that. It could be liturgically, it could be in this, you know, with the way we do it in the benediction. It can be formal, it can be informal, it can be in friendships, and just in fellowship that we have with one another. There's lots of ways to do it, but this is where we get it originally. I want to take us into the text where it comes from originally and then explore together, what does that mean for us and how do we live that out intentionally, as this is what we do in our sacred gathering. Therefore, we want you to know that we want to be people who speak blessing, good words over each other. All right, we're going to look at the text. It's in Numbers chapter 6. I'm going to have it on the screen if you want to open it up in front of you to keep it in front of you as I go through some of the teaching points too. You might want to just do that. Numbers chapter 6. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, the fourth book in the Bible, and it's chapter 6, verse 22 and 27. And here's the context. Let me jump into the context before I read it. It comes from a time when Moses and Aaron... You know Moses, right? Moses, born 1,500 years before Christ, and his brother Aaron, and the Israelite priests were already saying this as early as it looks like the second year of the Exodus. So they left Egypt, they go into the wandering, and they're on their way to the promised land. This is 1,400 years before Christ, and they're already using this blessing that we're going to read about and saying that over one another. That's 3,400 years ago God's people started doing this. And we still do it and speak it over one another today. But look at it with me. It's starting in verse 22. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, this is where it got instituted. Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you're to bless the Israelites. This is what you're supposed to say to them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So they will put my name on the Israelites and I will bless them. Oh, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Isn't that good? So way back 3,400 years ago, he goes, listen, I want you to, the leaders of the religious leaders of the community of Israel, I want you to say this over the people. And he gives this triad of blessing over them. It's like, listen, they didn't have writing back then. I mean, they didn't have all their stuff in writing. They didn't have, like, their whole thing wasn't established. They didn't have the YouVersion Bible app. They didn't have Amazon to send them all their devotional books. Like, they're like, if you want to know what we need you to remember as God's people, and remember where they were. They were wandering in the desert, year two of what was going to turn out to be 38 more years of being like, what is God up to? Which, by the way, is a metaphor for every one of our lives. Wow, it's not easy. And if you have anything I want you to remember, the priest said, speak this blessing over them. Go back a slide for us so we can read it again. I want you to see it. Would you say it with me, actually? Let's read that. Sorry, one more forward so we can do the blessing. Say it with me. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. So this is the blessing that they wanted them to know. And by the way, this has been used, I was talking about 3,400 years, it has been used continuously ever since. Isn't that kind of powerful? And those of you, where are my people that were either in the MCCU Bible class or 101? Raise your hand if you were my people. Okay, listen, we're gonna nerd out really quickly. So here's something that's really cool. We know that it was used for centuries because in 1979, they found something called the Ketev Hinnom scrolls. Here's a photo of it right here. This is what you live for. Does that move everyone? Is your heart just strangely warmed? And what this is these were tightly rolled silver scrolls, and they found them in 1979, just southwest of the old city of Jerusalem, and they found them in a burial tomb. And so these things were buried with somebody, but they didn't know what they were. They thought they were some trinkets until they very carefully, very slowly unrolled these things, which took months to preserve them. And when they unrolled them, what did they find inside? But this blessing from Numbers, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and grant you his peace. And what was so powerful about them finding this was that that was buried with somebody 600 years before Christ, before Israel went into exile. It was already in use there to give that blessing over one another. And even in there, in death, they were like, the Lord bless you and keep you. But it was already at work in the life of their community 600 years before Christ. And you're like, well, yeah, but Moses wrote it like, you know, this was written and Moses said it 1,500 years. I know, but the coolest thing was this became the earliest scrap of manuscript that we had ever found by 700 years. So in other words, the next oldest part of the Bible that we found was from like around 100 AD, around the time of Christ. And this was found, it had been made in 600. Isn't that a cool nerd out thing? So in other words, the scriptures, what this tells us is this, the point of this is this continuity of God's word, right? And of the text was there, but also this priestly blessing and this kind of language was fixed and revered hundreds of years before Christ. And it was a way they were living, knowing this is how we speak these blessings over one another. I just think that's really cool. Sorry for that excursion, but those of you that were in my class, there's a couple of you that I know that are nerding out on that. Let's take a look at the benediction and let's talk about help us understand the point of doing this and how more broadly, not just what we do at the end of a worship gathering, but how we more broadly will speak blessing over one another. So the first part of it is this: may the Lord bless you and keep you. There's not enough space on this slide to say it all, though. May the Lord bless you and keep you, though, is, well, no, actually, that is the whole first part, right? The Lord bless you and keep you. Later, I had to shorten them. But this equals, this is a good word of God's provision and protection. So as we seek to be God's people who speak blessing over one another, we're going to be people who are speaking words of God's provision and protection over one another. You may use these words, but in your life, the way that you interact with people, you're going to be like, look at, this is highlighting the truth that God's favor and God's watchful care is over us, and that his power is at work, and that he's defeating enemies. And though, even though we've got stuff going on in our lives, God's got you. That's the message that's happening in this blessing. Longhand, it would be, may the Lord bring you, may Yahweh bring you all the good he has for you, all the good he's designing for you, life at its fullest, and by his jealous power, may he preserve you to enjoy that abundance. I love all those words. He's just like, listen, I got you. I'm protecting you. I'm bringing life to you. That's what we proclaim over one another. And why do we need to do that? Because we continue to be, we continue to be tempted to slide into God-less thinking. And this is like, nope, he's here and he's got you. And we need that reminder from one another in total regular doses. That's what that end of that benediction is for. Like, we're listening, let's just remind one another, speak good words over each other that God is with us and that he's got us in here. My wife is the expert at this. She has been speaking into my core wounds for our entire, we'll be married 40 years on Easter Sunday in a month and a half, 2 months. But 40 years of her speaking into my deepest wound, which is I'm probably on my own. That's so many people's wounds. It's almost every man I've ever met has some version of that wound. I probably got to figure it out on my own. And yet what we do in the community of blessing is we speak a blessing over one another and be like, you are not on your own. He has got you. And God's care and favor and protection and power is over you and at work in you, and you are not alone. He's got you. My wife speaking into my life, I bet you it is 19 out of 20 days in a row, my wife will speak some word to me about he's got you. He's watching you. And his power will be evident in your day today. That's what we do. We speak that blessing over one another. So point one that he makes, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is God's, the good word that, sorry, go back. So I'm still, Alex, are you in a hurry? You got somewhere to be? What are you doing, bro? It's the good word of God's provision and protection. We speak that over each other in some way. Point two, Alex. The Lord make his face shine upon you. And of course it says, and be gracious to you, right? The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And this is the good word that they who we speak over would know his presence. That we'd actually know his presence. And actually, because there's not enough room there, it should have said that we should know his presence because of his grace. In other words, we actually get to know God because of the grace of God on us. If you're looking at the text in front of you, the whole phrase says, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be what? Gracious to you. We're praying God's grace. And I use the word presence there because what I wanted to say is his grace allowed us to be in a relationship with God. And that's the message we keep bringing to one another. That's the message we keep reminding each other of. You see, we can't actually be in God's presence without his grace poured out on us. You know that, right? This is what's so amazing about this ancient blessing, that it's praying that his face would shine on us. Well, what we do know about the Moses story, we find out later, we remember the Old Testament actually teaches that if you see the face of God, what will happen? You'll die. He is so holy that actually if we were in his presence and saw his face, and this comes from Exodus 33, you can go read this later. This is Moses is like encountering God and God's like, all right, look, lead my people into the promised land. And Moses is like, okay, well, you're got to be with me. Like, and he goes, yep, my presence is going to go with you. And he's like, good, don't send me unless you're going to be with me. He's like, I'm going to be with you. And he's like, okay, because I'm not going to go unless you're going to be with me. And he's like, I'm going to be with you. And Moses is like, this is ridiculous. This is such good news. And then Moses steps out and goes, can I see your glory? And God goes, I'm going to pass by, you're going to see my back, because if you saw my face, you would die. No one can see my face and live. The blessing is a foreshadowing of the coming of Christ, which we have the privilege of receiving, where the blessing is, may the Lord make his face shine upon you. You know, the face that should kill you. But may his face shine upon you. Why? Because of the grace of Christ that we've received. This is why it's called good news, people. So make his face shine upon us in his grace, because of what his grace is. And so it's highlighting the truth that because of Jesus, the blessing is that we would know this unhindered, full sunshine, bright light of the presence of God in our lives. Nothing keeping us from him. Our sin wiped away, so there's nothing between us and God. Wiped away by the love and the mercy and the work of Christ on the cross. So we live in this full light of the glory of God. That's why it's the word shine. Let him shine on you. And of course, it's trying to make us see this idea of the sun, right? Just the brilliant light of sun that warms and lights up everything. You cannot escape it, and its power blows your mind. That's the full light of the glory of God we get to live in, that presence. So longhand, it's maybe, may you receive all of his love and forgiveness through Jesus so that nothing hinders you being in the glorious relationship of a face-to-face encounter with your perfect Father God. This is the blessing that we give over one another. Lord, make his face to shine upon you. So in our lives, in our lives together, friends, we're speaking this word over one another to say, you have access to the Father. There's no shame in your story anymore. You get to be in God's presence. God's grace has come on you, and the full light of God is on you, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he's taken your sin, and he's cast it as far as the east is from the west, and he takes your wickedness and remembers it no more. Like, these are all scripture verses. That's the word we speak to one another. So go walk with God. And we're like, yeah, but I'm a mess. And we're like, yeah, but his light, full light is shining on you because of the grace of Christ. Go walk with God. This is what we get to speak over one another. My friend in this church that I'm praying for every week, that he's on our prayer list, and those of us on the intercessor team and the staff get to see this, and Scott writes these prayer requests every day, that the Lord would hold him close, and that the Lord would make him into the man that he's longing to be, because he's just had this crazy past, and it's just so hard for him to even get his head around the fact that the full light of the glory of God is shining on the face. He gets to see God face to face. But the way he's doing that is that he's constantly engaged in this life with friends who are telling him, bro, no one can snatch you out of Jesus's hand. His blood has covered you. You are a new man. The past is gone. And what you were is no more. Like, this is the word they speak to him, and he's staying encouraged to be God's man. We need that for each other. We need that reminder to each other. So the Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious to us. And he comes, and instead of dying, instead of being killed, we get the full presence of a relationship with God. The blessing goes on and makes a third point. The Lord turn his face toward you. And it says in your text, and give you his peace. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace. This is the good word that he is delighting in paying attention to us. And that leaves us at rest. He's delighting in paying attention to us. See, the first one was like, he's shining on all of us in grace. But this one is, you might have heard the phrase, I heard some of you try to say it when we were reading it out loud. He lifts up his countenance upon you. He lifts his head to look at you. He pays attention to you. He is turning his face toward you. And while the first one felt like, yeah, he's going to shine on us that know Christ, and it is this broad proclamation of grace and acceptance that we can have a relationship with God, this one is so personal and intimate that he turns his face toward you and looks at you. Every parent in this room, any babysitter in this room, any grandparent in this room has had that experience numerous times of a two-year-old grabbing your face and saying, look at me. Look, look, We dropped off some Valentines at Cliff and Savannah's house last night, and like as soon as we walked in, it was, "Pop, Pop, watch this." And I'm like, "You're dancing, okay, I've seen you dance, you know? Look at me." And then Cliff, who can't say hardly any words, not even 2 years old yet, he can hardly talk. What he can say is he can say, "Peppa, Peppa Pig, please." He can say that. But what he kept saying to me was, "Pop, Pop, look. Pop, Pop, look. Pay attention to me. Look at me. See me." And this is the image that this gives. The Lord would lift his countenance upon you. I'm old enough to remember the days when I had a newspaper and I would read the newspaper and my four children at various stages in life would come and crawl up underneath the newspaper and climb on my lap and push it out of the way and be like, "Look at me." This is the image. The Father would actually pay attention. The wounds many of us have had require us to do some work around a Father who has put down his book and his work and looks at you and pays attention to you and knows everything you're going through and hears every word that's coming from your heart, is looking right into your face. That's the idea that the text is trying to give here. It's highlighting this truth that God is delighted to do that, that he rejoices over you in song, as the prophet Zephaniah said. The Hebrew experts say that actually this is a functional equivalent, this that he turns his face toward you, that it's a functional equivalent of saying that in delight, he's smiling upon you. Some of us need to do some reflective work, and we need the blessing of one another to remind us that this is not an angry God, get off my lawn person. That this is a Father who delights in us. And we have to remind ourselves of that incredible truth. He's smiling on you. He turns his face toward you in intimacy. It suggests attention and pleasure and affection. And what does it say at the end? He turns his face toward you and gives you what? His peace. Because the result is shalom. And shalom means everything's as it should be. We know everything is not as it should be in our world, but the attention of the Father is so intimate and so assuring that in our world, in that moment, we can experience shalom. This is the blessing. We speak to one another, and we get to speak to one another, and we get to remind one another about. Longhand, it might be this: may you know God's intimate attention to every detail of your life, and may you sense him looking you full in the face, making eye contact, bringing shalom, all things being right in your world. He's personally focused on you and very, very near, and we need to remind one another about that. And it's true because of the Holy Spirit. He's so near, it's because the Holy Spirit actually indwells us. You know those last two, right? It starts with the Lord bless you and keep you about his protection. Then it goes into the Lord make his face shine upon you. Then make his face turn toward you. Those two, shine upon you and be gracious. Turn toward you, give you peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. God gives his attention to us, maximizing, emphasizing grace and peace, which is so funny because that's included in all these benedictions and blessings in the New Testament, right? Almost every letter of Paul's in the New Testament begins with grace and peace to you. By the way, do you see the Trinity in these three blessings? The threefold blessing, the protection of the Father, the grace of the Son, and the peace and intimacy that comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit. You see it in those three? So that's what we speak to one another, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit over your life. All we're doing, friends, is reminding one another about the deepest truth so we don't forget. I was going to show you 2 Corinthians chapter 13 is a benediction at the end where Paul says this to the Corinthians after his long letter. This is how he wraps it up. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all. That's the influence that we speak over one another. That's the result of our relationships one over one another, reminding ourselves of these truths. Now, so why did we tell you all this? We do a benediction because, yeah, we want to give you a blessing, but more so we want to train you to be a blessing to one another, not just in this liturgy, but we want to paint this picture that actually we're going to be people who speak blessing over one another as a way of life. But that's my second point. Here's my first takeaway. I want you to see this. My first takeaway. We want you to speak. Why do we do this? We want you to speak blessing over one another as we go from here. As we leave here, as we're headed out, we want you to speak blessing over one another. This is a symbol that we're going to be pulling from for each other as we go out of here. This is a symbol that we're going to be praying for each other as we go out of here. This is a symbol that we're going to walk the walk as we go from here. Because life, you guys, until we meet again, life is found between Sundays. And so we do a benediction is a symbol of us saying, I'm going to be for you and I'm going to be speaking into your life and I'm going to be blessing you as you go and walk with God this week, because you got a lot ahead of you between 12:15 on Sunday and the next Sunday morning when we get back here again. And so I'm going to be speaking blessing over you. I'm going to be praying blessing over you. I'm going to be thinking blessing over you. Like, this is who we're going to be. So doing a benediction is a symbol of saying, listen, we want you to be people who speak blessing over one another, not just in this room, but as we go. But it starts here. That's why we gather. How can you do that? How can you speak blessing over one another as we go from here? Well, first, use the greeting times, right? To learn a name, to look somebody in the eye. Ben did a 10-second version of it today. We don't do it every Sunday, but like, we do this thing where we say good morning, hello, and to look somebody in the eye, and to, even if you know them a little bit, be like, dude, scale of 1 to 10, how was your week? Or, wow, how do I pray for you this week? Like, we engage with one another. We can also, by the way, come early and stay late. Wow. That might be the greatest sacrifice you can make during Lent, is to come early and stay late and look for a way to speak blessing over somebody by listening, by praying for them. By the way, we built this incredible lobby so we could all hang out and have coffee and see one another and hear our stories and deepen relationships. And we do that, as we go from here, we do that by praying over each other. Increasingly, you'll see in our church that people, you'll just see somebody with a hand on a shoulder and a head bowed for a short prayer. Some of you were like, okay, that's a big step for me. Like, yeah, maybe it is, and that's great. But we get to do that to each other too. So we want to speak blessing over one another about the fact that we're going to go from here. And so how do we do that? By engaging in these ways. I'm going to be that person. And takeaway number two is very similar. We want you to speak blessing over one another, not just as we go from here, but as a way of life. All the time, in every place, we want you to speak blessing over one another as a way of life. It's a symbol that we're going to be a people who live this way, a people who speak strength into one another, who speak encouragement into one another, speak God's truth into one another, remind everybody of what this is true, that God's got you, that he's protecting you, that his grace has been poured out on you, and so there's nothing hindering your relationship with God, and that he's going to, he is inclined toward you and your story, that he's totally in your story right now, right where you are. Like, that's what we want to keep speaking into one another. And so the benediction is just a symbol of that in the end. Like, hey, let's speak this good word over each other. And if it's the Lord's Prayer, it's like, let's pray this good word for each other and for us. But it's a symbol to say, listen, I'm going to be that in my life. And how do you do that, you guys? How do we do that? We have to do that by finding our people and meaningfully engage with them. Meaningfully engage with them. Who are our people where we talk about the deepest things, where people can speak truths into us, where we can get into the Bible together and remind ourselves of these truths? I don't know how we survive without that when it's only Sunday to Sunday. I think we need more. And we talk about raising the spiritual temperature, how we do this, how we speak into this as a way of life. We raise the spiritual temperature of every room we walk into. So when we encounter somebody and run into them at Costco, we don't go, wow, you're a Mill Valley person. Why are you doing up here in Nevada? And we don't just judge them for how much wine is in their cart. I know you've looked at their carts. But when we run into somebody, we lean into their story. And we speak blessing over them. And I know many of you guys, you're just like, Yikes. Hey, and band, why don't you guys come out? I'm out of time, so we're just going to wrap up. But listen. So many of us are right now going, yikes. I don't know that I possess that. I don't know that I have knowledge to do that. I don't even know what does that actually look like to speak blessing over somebody and to say that. I can't even imagine what that might even be. Well, friends, it's found here in verse 27. The very last part, after he's taught how to give the blessing, this is what God said. So then they will put my name, these priests, when they speak blessing, they'll put my name on the Israelites and I'll bless them. They'll put my name on them. It's a funny way to say it, right? And what he's saying, you know what name, the name meant in ancient time? The name is all the characteristics, all of the reputation, all of the essence, all of the authority, all of the deeds, all of the nature, the total identity of God. We're proclaiming, we're putting God's name on people. And you're like, well, what does that look like? That means that we literally pray and bless them to remember God's grace and God's peace. God's grace and God's peace. Amber, how was your week? It was rough. I want God's grace on you. May you just know his love, sister, and may you feel the peace of his Holy Spirit within you. That's the kind of thing that we're talking about. And then we also go and hear from Psalm 27. Was my quiet time today. It reminded me of you, Ben, that you're finding favor because of your righteousness. I didn't give you that yet, but that's what the Lord gave me this morning. We're just reminding you that he is. And this is why in the text, the threefold use of God's name, Yahweh, his personal name, the great I am, very present. The great I am will bless you and keep you. The great I am will shine his face upon you. The great I am will pay attention to you and give you his peace. I am, I am, I am. It's a reminder of what is most true. And God will give us a number of ways to be able to do that with one another. So friends, will you orient yourself to being that person? And you're like, I don't even know if I know enough about that. Keep allowing yourself to be God's person, to feel God's heart, and to speak then God's grace and peace that he's got you over one another. May we be, and this is why we do a benediction, may we be people who speak blessing of the truth of God and the love and the grace of Christ and the filling of the Holy Spirit over one another. Let's stand and respond in this incredible song around the idea of benediction. Mm-hmm.